Welcome to the Nebraska Hawks Nest. These guys are brave! They're Hawkeyes, living in enemy territory. Listen, these guys are way past their prime, but they're still Hawkeyes! They're spreading the Hawkeye hype to all of Nebraska! The Frost Advisory is canceled! Cornhusker? More like Corn Sucker. Are you ready for this podcast? Let's go, Hawks!
All right, welcome back to the Nebraska Hawks Nest, your Hawkeye oasis located in a Nebraska desert. The boys are back. We got the Miller Lite Delight. We got Kyle Schlicker. If you guys are listening on Facebook, give us a like, give us a share. We appreciate that. YouTube, please subscribe to the channel. If you're listening to the podcast, give us a good score. Make sure to follow us, get the notification bells, all that crap. Make sure you hop in and do that so you guys can see us. Boys, what are you drinking tonight? I'm sipping on a little Tito's had a Swarm Vodka before that. Matt, what are you drinking right now?
I got a little CC and 7.
All right. Kyle, we got to medicate after that performance on Saturday. So we're having to have some drinks. We got to numb the pain. What are you drinking right now?
I've got some good old Goose Island Beer Company right here in Chicago. Some Neon Beer Hug and IPA, it's 7%.
Okay.
Three or four of these, and you're done for the night.
Nighty night.
Wow.
Well, then you switch to Tito's.
There you go. Soldier of the USA says he's boycotting all games until BF is gone. I feel you, brother. I mean, I feel you. When we're just gonna dive on into this, guys. People are pissed. This is going to be a venting session for us right now. This is terrible. That was one of the worst. And I know Penn State's a really good football team, but we absolutely did not put up a fight in that game whatsoever. It was pathetic. And I'm really, really frustrated. We're going to go over the stat line here real quick. And we want to hear what you guys think from what you saw. This is a venting session. It's a therapy session. We want to hear what you guys are going through right now, what your thoughts are on the program. Silas said, I heard the sound of a toilet flushing in Iowa City. Flush that one and focus on the next. I mean, that's all you can do at this point. Flush it and focus on the next. I mean,
move on.
But nonetheless, we're going to look back at it, dissect it a little bit, and we're going to complain because that was a horrible football game to watch. I mean, we had so much promise and so much hope going into this season with the new additions to some of the talent on the team, and it has just not panned out. And I think a lot of that has to do with the play calling, the lack of creativity from our offensive coordinator, the ridiculousness that we have going on the offensive line. I mean, George Barnett should not be employed any longer as an offensive line coach. That change needs to happen immediately. Okay. Because it can't get worse than what it is right now. That offensive line is terrible. That used to be the shining star of this offense, was one of the best offensive lines in the country. And it's a freaking joke right now. Other than Logan Lee, there isn't a guy on that line that could carry the jock strap for anybody on Penn State. It's pathetic. And George Barnett, you're coming out, and this is what, your fourth or fifth year as the offensive line coach. You're not hacking it. Enough's enough. I mean, those guys are overwhelmed. They're overmatched. They're not prepared to be able to take the pressure. And Cade has not played great. He hasn't looked good. And on top of it, it's a similar situation with Spencer. I mean, he doesn't have time to throw the ball. He's under constant pressure all the time. Yeah. And we're going to look at the stat line, and I want to get your guys' thoughts a little bit. But again, 31-0, which was, in my opinion, you know, freaking pathetic. And Kyle's getting called a legend already. That's Kyle, man. You got some fans out there, my man. I love it. Yeah, and AZ Hawk, no first downs in second and third quarters. So we're going to take a look at this real quick. And again, give us your comments, how you guys are feeling. We're going to incorporate that into the show. You know, this is going to be our Hawkeye overreaction, kind of what we do. I'm pissed off. I'm frustrated. This is the first time, and I can't remember how long, I shut off the game before it was over. We have two TVs down here in the basement. My wife's a Notre Dame fan. It was on at the same time. I just turned it to the Notre Dame game, let her watch that. And I was like, I'm done. I'm not watching this crap anymore. And it didn't get any better. The stat line for this game, we put it out there. I think a lot of you guys have seen this. 79 total yards. I mean, wow. Beth, you got some cleaning house to do with this offensive staff. And if Kirk doesn't like it, I'm sorry, Kyle. Like, I know you got to kind of be a little bit more respectful than us because, you know, you played for him and you're going to be in contact with the program. So my opinion and Matt's opinion doesn't necessarily reflect what Kyle thinks. So he's his own man. He's going to say what he thinks. 79 total yards versus 397 of Penn State. 79 versus 397. That's not a typo. 56 passing yards the whole game. You're not going to beat a high school football team with 56 passing yards. Penn State, 182. Rushing yards, we had 23. 23 rushing yards. Penn State had 215 yards per play. Like, every one of these stat lines jumps out and hits you in the face. 2.4 yards per play. Ain't going to cut it. Not even close. We had four first downs the whole game. Four. Penn State had 29. Now, these two stats are the ones that really jump off the page at you. Matt, do you remember how many are, you probably don't, total plays we ran for this game? Do you remember exactly what that is, Matt or Kyle?
28.
Very close. We had 33 total plays for that game. 33 plays. Penn State had 97.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
They had as many fourth down conversions as we had first down conversions.
the other big one. Major, major one. Okay. A couple here. We had four fumbles lost in that game. Penn State, zero. And the biggest of them all, time of possession. Okay. A major contributing factor to Iowa winning football games. We had the ball for 14 minutes and 33 seconds. 14 minutes and 33 seconds. Penn State had it for 45 minutes and 27 seconds. That's horrendous. Only bright spot on that team is Torrey Taylor. That guy is playing wonderful football. He is kicking the hell out of it and putting it in beautiful spots. It's a beautiful thing to see. So we got a lot of comments rolling in here. So I got to get to those and then try to go through those. But Matt, we're going to start out with the Miller Lite Delight. What are your thoughts on that embarrassing performance? And is this team in trouble?
I don't even know where to start on this game. It's just, you can pretty much pick up the ball anywhere. It's terrible all the way around. The left guard couldn't block that defensive end through the whole game. He was the shining star of the Penn State defense. Like, I mean, no protection on the blind side. I mean, like I said, four fourth down conversions versus, you know, our four first down conversions, 14 minutes. I mean, the defense was gassed. You could tell they poured everything they had into it. And I mean, there was still some, I mean, I felt like there was even some holes on some defense. Some guys didn't play as well as I thought they maybe were in the past. I don't know. I guess it was awful all the way around. I also turned it a little bit early. I didn't watch all the fourth quarter because it was brutal to watch. Worst in 25 years, I think, is another stat I heard. Another thing that I wanted to kind of bring up, I don't know if anybody else has noticed, but I mean, the O-line has definitely struggled more and more year over year since Doyle's left? Is it strength and conditioning? I mean, there might be some ties there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What else do you contribute this to? We've never seen offensive lines this bad since he's left. So, I mean, strength and conditioning coach, O-line coach, Kirk said that they're not going to rebuild a playbook, which obviously in the middle of the year, you're not going to rebuild a playbook, but you ought to be able to, revamp, simplify, quicken some plays up so the reads don't have to be so long. There's got to be something you can do, because if you're going to do the same thing all year long, this is what we're going to see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we don't make adjustments really in the off season. Even this is like, we're going to put our heads down and do what we do. And just hope that it eventually work. And you always say, what's the definition of insanity?
Doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results.
Ding, 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 ding. That is correct. Kenny says offensive line is and has been the problem for the last few years. 100% agree, Kenny. Iowa has more talent offensively than it has in the last years. Again, that's right there. We've had a lot of upgrades on the offensive side of the ball. Doesn't matter if you don't get any of these guys the ball. Sorry, Brian, that's on you, man. We've been patient with you. You've had plenty of time to get this thing going, and it's only gotten worse and worse over time. So, I appreciate everything Kirk's done for us. He's done some amazing things, but I think I speak for the majority, not everybody, everyone's got their own voice here, but I'm not even going to say I speak for the majority of Iowa fans. I speak for myself where I'd like to see something different. We need a new offensive coordinator. I'm ready for a whole entire new regime to come in and show us what they can do. Because like I told you guys last week and the week before, I'll always love Iowa football. That's always my team. I got a freaking Tiger Hawk tattooed on the side of my leg. Look at my freaking basement. I'll always be a diehard Hawkeye fan. But when you put out the same product on the field every single year, pretty much, I'm getting burned out on watching it. You can only watch so many reruns, and there is no urgency to upgrade any of this, because Kirk knows that, especially with a new athletic director, is Beth Getz gonna come in and fire him? I highly doubt it. And we knew that Old Crooked Tooth wasn't going to do anything about it when he was in the spot too, So I'm sorry. That was a low blow, but a low blow, but he was incompetent. And, Beth has done some great things already. I feel like she gets it, but I'm sick of the over politically correctness and the over patience. This stuff doesn't fly at other programs. Kyle, what are your thoughts on that stat line, what you saw, and also being a guy that's played in Penn State? You've lived it. And tell us what you thought from what you saw on Saturday.
All right. Well, first off, from a player's perspective, I feel really bad for the players. That's a tough loss at a tough environment. What was going through my mind was the flight home, packing things up, how quiet things are. It's a tough thing. It really is. That's something that I can't really explain, and I feel bad for them. As a former player watching this game, and by the way, this game was broadcasted on Paramount Plus, which I'm a subscriber to. So I was able to watch the entire thing without interruptions. I take that back. I was playing indoor yard darts with my son while we were watching the game, and he played with his indoor yard darts with my my helmet on the entire time. So anyway, Cade McNamara. Where do I start? I felt bad for him. He couldn't get the ball off. He couldn't do anything. The guys were getting in there so quick. Pretty quickly in the first half, I saw the defense. You could just tell by their body language, like they were getting beat up. Penn State was just too fast, too strong, too physical. I don't know what the answer is here. I truly don't. I feel bad for the coaching staff. I feel bad for the players. The in my opinion, the coaches are only as good as the players' ability to execute the plays on the field at the given time. So I'm a little bit biased towards that, because you know that the week of preparation going towards that was probably great, and the plays that he was calling and the trust that he had in the players was great. You know, blah, 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 blah. Pick me apart, rip me apart, whatever you want to do. But, you know, like, it really does come down to the play calling and the situation. You know, watching Cade McNamara get subbed out and seeing Deacon Hill come in there, I mean, that was actually kind of refreshing to see Deacon Hill kind of whip it around a little bit, you know, even when knowing that we're not going to probably come back and score. To answer your question, piggyback on Matt, your comment about, is it strength conditioning with the O-line? You know, we started to see kind of a shift when Doyle left. I agree with you. I will say Raymond Braithwaite was there when Doyle was there. I had Raymond Braithwaite all through my college career as an assistant, and he is absolutely phenomenal. But I will say this. I don't want to take away anything from, you know, because, again, I'm not there. I'm not inside the program. I don't know what's going on. But there was a certain attitude that Doyle brought to the table. We could talk for hours about the whole Doyle situation. I mean, we could talk for hours about how, you know, the thousands of players that he helped, become better people, blah, 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 blah. But there was a different attitude that he brought to the table. And I think that may play a role in the attitude that's on the field. Again, yeah. I'm not trying to downplay anything that Coach Braithwaite is bringing to the table, and the only reason I can say that is because he was there when I was there with Doyle. I know Raymond very well, Coach Braithwaite very well. And I know that, it's just hard. You know, you can't duplicate the whole Doyle thing. You can't. You never will be able to.
No, and I said this from the beginning too. I feel like that they have lost their edge a little bit since Doyle left. And last year the defense looked a lot better, but that's something that, you know, that comes up. And, you know, South Bend Hawkeye, I owe him a t-shirt. Sorry, he said that I was supposed to send him a t-shirt. I never look at the Instagram DMs ever. So I'll hop in there and get you a shirt sent out, because I know that we told you that we would do that. So thanks for being patient, man. Think about kind of what South Bend Hawkeye is saying here. It's only going to get tougher. We got USC, UCLA. Look at Oregon. I mean, Oregon is a juggernaut. Like, we aren't keeping the pace, and we're going to keep slipping farther and farther back. And it's going to be one of those things that we're so scared to make a change because, look what happened when we got rid of Tom Davis. You know, we fell in the dumpster. Well, that was because we made some garbage hires at that point. Yeah. And, you know, there's also a thing where, you know, look what Penn State did with Joe Paterno. They held on way too long with him. They started to head downhill. They brought in some new life, and it reinvigorated the program. So, again, you hold on too long, we'll end up like the Illinois. You know, there's nothing about us that says we won't drop down to that level. Because think about it. Do you think Caleb Brown's going to come back here next year? That guy has aspirations to play in the NFL, and he's not getting the ball.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's the frustrating part. How are you going to look a recruit in the eye on the offensive side of the ball and get him to want to play in this system?
Well, how they respond to this is going to be probably will determine the rest of the season. In my opinion, I think that, you know, take this with a grain of salt. Yeah, I hope that those players and the coaches are so embarrassed with what just happened. And even though they might not be showing it to the media or to the fans, they are embarrassed. I really hope that they are deep down inside. And this entire week, I mean, starting immediately when they got on the bus to get on the plane to go home to Iowa City, starting immediately, like, that's when it started to happen. You know, their thought process about how they're going to react to this. I see this, you know, I said it last week when, you know, I think I was talking about, like, you know, Hawkeye football could kick me in the balls in the face at the same time, blah, 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 blah. This kind of relates to life too, you know, like, sometimes things like this is a kick in the balls in the face at the same time, you know, like, it hurts. But how you respond to that is what matters. And, I'll always remain optimistic when this, with this stuff. I trust that, those, you know, whatever's happening behind those closed doors is the right stuff. You know, hopefully they change a couple things around. Cade McNamara, whatever's going on in his mind, hopefully he can flush all that. And gosh, I need to see some kickers come out and do some beautiful stuff. You know, like I was disappointed that I didn't see any kickers doing other than Torrey Taylor. With all due respect, the guy's not he's not a kicker. You know,
he's the highlight.
I will say this. You know, the new age of punting, where it's the rugby style. Dude, I could do what he was doing. Are you kidding me? You get that ball, you turn and like, I mean, really, yeah, whatever. I'm not going to get into that, but
No. And the thing is too about it, it's like we're tired of this. Like, we want to keep trying to be the best, you know, the best average team in the Big Ten. You know, seriously, we're not even knocking on the door to compete with the Michigan and a Penn State and Ohio State. Now we have Oregon. You know, we have USC coming in, and we're gonna get mopped up with these guys. And I'm tired of the philosophy of our program is, well, let's just be better than Wisconsin, or not even Wisconsin. Got a golden retriever running around chewing on his piggy behind me. You can hear him; he's having a good time right now. And it's the only thing that makes me smile when I'm talking about Iowa football right now. But you know, the mindset is like, oh, as long as we're better than these other crap teams in the West, you know, we're pretty good. I've had it, and I'm fed up. I'm agitated. I'm angry. JD says he loves Kirk, but it's time to go. I agree. It's run its course. I'm ready for a change. Matt, do you feel like it's time to make a change, or are you of the mindset, some of the fan base, that he's earned the right to stay and coach as long as he wants to?
I don't know that anybody earns the right to stay forever. I mean, at that point, what are you doing to your program? You got to look at the future. He's been a great coach through the whatever 24 years of coaching, but for people to say, you know, he's won X, he's done X. I mean, you've got to look forward. You've got to look past. It can be done gracefully. And, and at Iowa, it will be. And we may see him another year or whatever. But there's definitely changes that's got to happen for us to succeed if he is going to stay. And if not, then we need to get a good hire in and change this, turn this thing around. You know, you're right with Oregon, USC, Washington. I mean, they're all going to smoke us at this rate.
Yeah.
What we got coming in here. Plus all the teams in the East. I saw a comment from a Penn State fan on, you know, scrolling social media, and it's like, we just zeroed the supposed best team in the West. You know, that's embarrassing.
It is. And we didn't even put up a fight, in my opinion. And at the end of the game, we were mailing it in. Drew says, questions a whole new regime. I mean, if we can keep Phil Parker, he's one of the best, if not the best, defensive coordinator in the country, and LeVar Woods would be great. It's just, you know, depending on who the new head coach is going to be, there needs to be some changes. And I don't know that that's ever going to happen. We've felt like this before, but with our week schedule that we have, the frustrating part is we'll still maybe win 8 games this year because we're the best average team in the Big Ten. And when we go away from these divisions, it's going to expose us, and that's going to be what we need, you know. And I say it's going to be what we need to make a change. I'm still not confident that they ever will, but they're going to start to lose fan interest, which I feel like's already started to happen. I mean, there's fans leaving games early. You look at stands for, you know, last few home games, like Western Michigan, that was pathetic. You know, we should have handled those guys, and we struggled with them in the first half, you know? So that's the frustrating part. One thing I've noticed though, too, is I feel like on defense, and it might be a little bit that these guys are just a little bit tired. Kyle and Matt, you tell me what you think. But one guy that I've been really disappointed in is Xavier Wamka. I've noticed him getting beat a lot on routes, getting touchdowns scored on him, missing tackles. You know, this 5-star guy that was supposed to be a brick house with unparalleled speed is not really playing inspired football out there right now. And I don't know if it's because he's just worn out from being on the field so much, or is he just not as good as we thought he was? or is he just not inspired? I don't. What do you guys think? Cricket.
Go ahead, Matt. What do you got?
They were gassed. The defense was gassed. Absolutely 100% by halftime. They had already had a ton of time on the field with little rest. So you could definitely tell that they were gassed. But I think for as good as our secondary was supposed to be coming in, I feel like they've slipped a little bit. There's a few guys that, you know, didn't look like they were in position or just too slow to get into position or whatever it was, you know. Penn State picked us apart.
Yeah.
3 to 12 yards at a time. They didn't have any great big plays that I can really recall that really outstanding. We completely blew coverage, but I mean, they used our soft, cushy secondary and just went inside them and 10 yards at a time, 5 yards at a time. They just marched on the field with a gas defense. It just is what it is. But yeah, Xavier hasn't looked great. I don't think Cooper's looked that great either. And he's a stud. So I don't know if it's the other personnel on the field, they're trying to do too much or what it is, but I mean, there's definitely some improvement that can be had there.
Kyle, what's going to happen? Because I don't see a scenario where Brian hits that 25-point average. I just don't see it. What do you, and just, I know we're guessing here, but from what you know and what you feel in your heart, what do you feel is going to happen? Is do you think Beth is going to hold him to that and let Brian go? Or do you feel like she's going to rework it and say, never mind, we're not going to fire Brian after all?
Well, first off, I don't know anything, but in my heart, I feel that, you know, Coach Ferentz is going to remain. You know, guys, you have to remember what we don't know is, you know, picture all those coaches around a round table, you know, like giving input and Coach Ferentz allowing an open conversation on what should happen, who should be in charge, who should be here, who should be there, what should be going on. You know, like I guarantee Phil Parker is chomping at the bit. I mean, him and Phil Parker are probably having, you know, beers right now at the Hilltop. Look it up. In Iowa City, right. The Hilltop. That was his favorite shop, favorite place to go to, right off of Prairie du Chien. Anyway, you know, I do briefly want to go back to one of the comments here on social media, Soldier of the USA. You know, he mentioned that I don't think strength and conditioning had changed. You're right. You are. So here we are. The strength and conditioning wasn't changed at drill. So it was drills. Okay. So you're right in the sense that the strength conditioning programming wasn't changed, because the whole idea of a Division I, and this comes from my background training in the SEALs and, you know, having a strength conditioning background myself. The whole purpose of that is if I were leave, the next guy in charge is, you know, like, look, it's a machine. It needs to keep running. So the next guy in line, like Raymond Braithwaite, was designed, was completely taught to, hey, if I'm gone, if I'm not here the next day, there's no speed bump whatsoever. But I will say, yeah, you're right. So it was Doyle's leadership and toughness he instilled throughout the team. You know, Doyle just brought this. He had this attitude. He had this bravado. He had this presence that I can't explain. And you know, gosh, Coach Braithwaite is an amazing dude, and he helped me through a lot of helped me and a bunch of other dudes through a lot of stuff while I was there. But, I, you know, again, I mean, we could talk for hours about how the impact that Doyle had on each and every player throughout those, you know, the many years that he was there. I do think that that helps. It really does. How you approach the day, how you approach the game, you know, how you dissect the game, how you, you know, prepare for the next game, you know, all that stuff, man.
Gosh, really adversity.
You're with your strength conditioning coach more than you are your position coaches. You really are.
Yeah.
So, you know, like we could bring anybody here on the show, Greenway. We could bring Matt Roth. We could bring Gallery. We could bring Steiny. We could bring anybody, you know, from my playing days, Kading. And they'll say the same exact thing. We could bring, you know, I mean, even David Porter, you know, guys that, gosh, Miguel Merrick. We could bring, the list goes on and on and on. And I guarantee that they would say the same thing.
Kyle, it's been noted that Doyle spent a lot of time with that offensive line. and really helped shape them and toughen them up. And it's not a coincidence that when he left, we've noticed that offensive line has dropped off big time. But again, we have the problem with Kirk that he won't make staff changes and won't make adjustments to make things better. Because again, why would you? You know, why would you? You're going to win 8 games a year and do it the way you want to do it with the guys you want to do it with, because you know that you're not going to get fired. Yeah. That's the frustrating part as an Iowa fan. AZ Hawkeye says the rest of the Big Ten just saw how to beat us. Blitz, 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 and blitz some more, because the wide receivers aren't getting open. And the play calling is so predictable when a couch armchair quarterback like myself can tell what we're going to do every time we line up. I can tell what we're running. Myself, I should not be able to tell that every single time. And that's a problem.
The only thing I have to say to this is, again, let me make it clear that I don't know anything, what's going on inside the program, but you know, I've got some players that I played with on that staff right now. And the only thing I can think of is Coach Ferentz is really adamant on developing the coaches, you know, and getting them as much experience as possible as they, like, it's almost like he cares about winning and progressing the program, but all of a sudden, but also he cares about mentoring and developing the coaching side too, which I understand, you know, because again, like, he's trying to, it's like Coach Ferentz just has this big old hug that he wants to bring all the players and coaches in and see everybody grow and, you know, become better people. Again, this is just my opinion from what I experienced. I mean, let's look at how young the coaching staff is. All of his assistants are. You know, you talk about Brian Ferentz. I mean, I watched an interview that he did today. I thought he spoke very, very well and very professionally. It's weird to hear him speak like that just because I went to college with him.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I thought that he responded very well to the media's, you know, not necessarily criticism, but, you know, questions about the game and about his, I think one of the questions was about his current position on staff moving forward. And he went into like this layered thing about how, like, yeah, playing for my dad is tough. You know, this, you know, I understand all that, you know, like, I really was able to see the side of Brian that I think is very true and genuine. You know, guys, all I'll say is that I just hope that they really learn from this, and whatever happens behind the scenes, we just need to, I think Soldier from the USA said also at the very beginning, like, I'm boycotting the rest of the season. Yeah. Right. Come on, man. You're not going to boycott the rest of the season. That's a lie. You know, you're going to tune into every game. You're going to pay attention to everything. Like, you're just venting. I get it. All of us say that stuff. It's kind of like when Trump was, like, you know, becoming, you know, running for office again. It's like,
we were all moving to Canada. Them.
We're all moving to Canada. Sorry. All right. Cool. Yeah.
Nobody moved to Canada.
Yeah. I get it. Yeah. We're all pissed off. I get it. But, like, you know, like, me as a former, like, dude, I have people walking by my house all the time giving me a ton of shit about, like, what just happened. I've got a couple clients that are Penn State fans, and all they're doing is texting my head off, you know? And come on, you got to take it in stride. It's college football. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I led a sales meeting today, and the first thing I said was, everybody shut up about Iowa. I know we were terrible right away. That's how I started it, and everyone started laughing. So, a lot of people are cringing thinking about playing Oregon, which we should, Tanner. I 100% agree with that. And if we're not dropping 40 next week, there needs to be a change in the guard immediately. There won't be. I mean, they're not going to change a damn thing. So, we're going to have to wait till the end of the season for any changes, because Kirk won't do that. But there needs to be a lot of changes, especially on offense. This is not working. And again, if we want to continue to be the best average team in the Big Ten, let's keep doing what we're doing. Let's keep beating Illinois, Northwestern, and Indiana, and Rutgers. You know, Maryland's passing us. Maryland's climbing the charts. They're having a good year. You know,
Maryland's going to be tough.
Maryland's doing some good things. You know, we're falling down the depth chart of the Big Ten pretty quick, because again, we have put ourselves in a dangerous position. I've said that for the last three or four years, that when you have a coach in place that hasn't won a Big Ten championship since 2004 and feels like he's untouchable, that's a problem. okay? If you have somebody on your staff that's performing at the level that Brian Ferentz is, one of the worst offenses in the country over the last 2 to 3 years, and you continually employ him and bring him back, this is why nepotism is not allowed in the workplace, because you're not able to make a clear and concise decision without your heart and do what's best for the institution and the program, because he's your son. I get it. Matt, Kyle, and myself, we'd all be in the same spot, because if we had our son in that role, you're going to give your son a lot more grace than you're going to give another person. If anybody else would have been in that role, they'd have been gone by now. We all bitched about Greg Davis when he was in there. The dude was rolling out with like the 45th to 53rd ranked offense in the country. We would kill for that right now.
Yeah, we would.
Kill.
If my son wanted an offensive coordinator position under me, I would do exactly the same thing. I would let him get as much as he wanted and squeeze him until the very last drop is out, and then ask him, you still want to do this?
You know, the lack of creativity with, you know, this staff, it's just, okay, we're going to shove Brian down your throat. He's your offensive coordinator. Why in the hell, Kirk, have you not thought of, you know what, this is not working and I want to do what's best for my son. So you need to go to the Mountain West or the MAC and get a head coaching job or even a coordinator job. Prove at that level that you can do it. And then at that point, we'll think about bringing you back. But you're going to continue to shove this horrible offense down our throats year in and year out and expect something to change. Schematically, Brian doesn't have the brain to be able to run an offense that's going to be effective at the Big Ten level. He's not able to do it. He's got some strong pieces, except for the garbage offensive line that we still haven't fixed. He's not able to do it. We're going to go. Torrey was great, says Thomas. He created a turnover. Yeah, I mean, Torrey was awesome. It's sad when your punter is continually the bright spot of the games. You know? Like
with these numbers, he might win the Heisman.
our program is getting made fun of all over College Game Day. Pat McAfee is just bagging on Brian Ferentz week in and week out. You guys got this great program and you have a shitty offensive coordinator. And because his dad's the head coach, we continually bring him back. The whole world's laughing at us, you know, make a change and tell Kirk, we're making a change at offensive coordinator. And if you absolutely refuse to do it, we're sorry, coach, but then we're going to have to move on from you too. He's got to do what's best for the program, not what's best for his family. And that he's not doing that right now. You're putting your family in front of what's best for this program. You have how many, you know, Hawkeye fans, you know, a million Hawkeye fans across the country that you owe it to do the right thing by, and you're not. You're trying to do what's best for your son, and this is why people don't allow you in the professional workplace. If we were in a role in our office, say I tried to hire my son, I probably wouldn't be able to in most corporations, especially if it was a public company like that. Right. You're not allowed to do it. I don't know. You guys – take some of this off my.
So I had an interesting conversation with an employee of mine, not an employee of mine, but a coworker of mine. Sorry, he's a UAB fan, University of Alabama Birmingham, played number one Georgia Bulldogs team. They put up 21 points against the number one team in the country, as University of Alabama Birmingham.
Trent Dilfer.
You sagged Penn State, so maybe we should hire that offensive coordinator. I guarantee you jump.
Yeah.
Well, I'm only offering a different perspective here, and just disclaimer, throw this out there. I was just a kicker. I don't know anything about, you know, calling plays. Like, I always just trusted the
day. Just one of the greatest kickers in Iowa history, that's all.
I appreciate it, but back when I played, we were very successful. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. We were. So I kicked a lot of field goals during that time. In the 3 years that I played, that I was the starting kicker, I think I kicked 50 plus some field goals, and that's a lot in 3 years. It really is. I don't think there's any other kicker, maybe Kading, that did that as well in 3 years. But anyway, you know, was it good offensive coordinating back then, or did we just figure shit out and execute it, you know, and call audibles and figure it out? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. What I want is what, and again, I'm just offering I'm trying to be, you know, devil's advocate here. I understand that there's a problem here that needs to be fixed, but you know, back then we won a lot of games, but I also know that we struggled to win a lot of games, and we fought and had to figure shit out quite a bit to win games. So, you know, like there were a lot of, you know what I mean? Like, I want someone to go back and watch all the seasons that I played in, all the seasons that I was a part of, and be like, well, actually, you're right. You know, or actually, it was great play calling. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Trying to offer a different perspective here.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
South Bend Hawkeye says, could you imagine the old baby boomers would think if Iowa brought in a minority coach that could relate to kids like to fun and gun, brought hype and actually made Iowa football again, like maybe like a Deion Sanders type. I can't even imagine that, but I'm sure Colorado couldn't have imagined that either before he got there. That is so, I feel like, I don't know. I think I speak for most fans. I don't care, you know, the race, religion, sexual orientation, anything like that. If you can win football games and you're a good human being, that's all I care about. So I would love a little more excitement in the program and getting somebody that brings a little bit of luster and a little bit of excitement on Saturdays. Like, again, are any of us excited to watch this when it takes, you know, when they take the field? Because it's not a good product. It's tough to watch. So I don't know. Brett Ellis from Peoria, Illinois, out in Kyle country, says he's in Fighting Illini country. I'm not impressed with Coach Brett here this year, but it's sadly a toss up. I'm a little surprised that Illinois is taking a step back like they have and struggled, but I still believe in Brett Bielema. I think he's going to get it done there in Illinois. He's so early on. It's going to take him a little bit of time, and that's a tough place right now to recruit to, similar as Iowa. You know, when they haven't been good for that long, it's hard to get the ball rolling there, but I feel like they're going to be a little bit more patient with him. What do you think, Kyle?
I mean, yeah, I don't know what the heck is going on over there in Illinois. Well, over here in Illinois, up over there, down there in Champaign. You know, it's unfortunate to me when you see a program like that go through. I mean, how many coaching changes in the past 15 years? Four, five? You know, we started with Zook, and we went to, you know, whoever else. You know, that shouldn't be happening. You know, they've got a great campus, a great team, a great tradition. And right now they have, in my opinion, a great coach. I was only with him a year. But gosh, guys, he's got a Hawkeye tattoo on his leg, you know, like,
yeah,
let's get it done. You know, like I really feel for him. I hope that he can be there for many years and be successful and be competitive with Iowa. I really do. Like, I want to go back to seeing, you know, that be a hard fought game. When I played there, it was just a hard stadium to play in, but it was an easy win. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. A comment came up that might be the funniest comment I've ever seen, so brace yourselves for what's about to come here. But Kenny says, totally agree about X. He's been very disappointed with his play. Five-star this year was his year to break out, and the opposites happened. He hasn't done anything that I've been impressed with. There could be other circumstances we don't know about, but I try to watch him a lot because he's a guy that we've been excited about. And again, he hasn't really done much. So I've been disappointed in him. And winner of the comment of the day, though, this is why I've been laughing the whole time. Chuck says, Iowa Hawkeye is the missionary position in the sex chart of college football. couldn't have said it better myself. So if we're the missionary position of that, what's Colorado right now? Cause that's disappointing, I guess. So they've kind of showed their true identity, but that's hilarious. Oh, I love that. That definitely gets comment of the night, but it's great. Essentially like your partner continually tells you what you're doing is not doing the job yet. You know they're not going to get rid of you, so you just keep doing the same thing over and over again because the lack of creativity and the lack of urgency.
Wait, hold on, Chuck. I want to see the entire chart here. Like, I need to see this. I need to see this breakdown.
Chuck, we want you to put together a chart for each position and what program is affiliated with it. I think that's hilarious.
And feel free to be as vulgar and
we don't care.
I guess as explicit as possible.
Yeah, I mean we're doing this at 8:30. This is Nebraska Hawksness after dark. It's straight to the gutter for us. But Chuck, that's freaking hilarious. We got another one here from Drew. From my understanding, to make the College Football Hall of Fame, you need a career winning percentage of 60%. By my math, Kirk needs a 10-2 season this year to hit that clip. I could see Beth let Kirk resign and move on with the super conference alignment because the likelihood of Hawks winning 60% or better from that point is not likely. Doing him a favor. You know, I agree with a lot of that. I don't think that Kirk is the guy to navigate us through the super conference that the Big Ten is going to become. And Tanner wants to know if Kyle can be the new strength and conditioning coach. Kyle, if they called you and asked you to come in and lead that charge, you know, because you've got a little experience, you know, with the Naval Special, what's it called?
Warfare.
Prep, I was afraid to say school. It because I would. Okay. What would you say if they gave you a call and wanted you to come in?
Oh, guys, I've had dreams about that. I really have. Again, who's there right now? Ray Braithwaite. I don't know who his assistants are. I don't know who his grad assistants are. But I know that I had Ray. Ray signed off on my card, on my lifting card many, many times. Like, he's responsible for me progressing through the ranks. You know, if I were to – I mean, we could talk for hours about this as well, about how the strength and conditioning within the program works. You know, Ray has a special place in my heart. He really has. Him and Doyle both have made me the person that I am today. But, you know, again, if I were to get a phone call, I would definitely take it. That'd be great. I mean, first of all, that facility is totally badass, the new one. Of course, I would petition to petition to move it back to the old school one, back in the Jacobson Athletic Building, but that wouldn't happen because I'm a vintage guy. I would definitely take it, you know, and I think that I don't want to take away anything because I don't know anything what's going on behind the scenes. But I think that Doyle attitude, especially towards the O-line, because he was an O-line coach. If you look up his Coach Doyle's coaching stats, I think he was at Holy Cross for a long time. Okay. As an O-line coach, if you look up his stats, he had an O-line background. I mean, the guy was he was 300 plus pounds. Guys, we'd be doing our workouts inside the gym and he'd be doing the strongman stuff, picking up 300 pound rocks and putting, you know, 300 pound Atlas stones, clean and jerking 400 pounds. I mean, the guy was, he led by example. And he just had this thing about him, man.
Sounds like an animal.
But he also was that kind of guy who you could walk in and shoot the shit with and be 100%, okay with, not being on the same level as him. He was just a great dude. So anyway, I do think that element is missing.
Yeah. And he, you know, I wish that he wouldn't have maybe said some of the things that he's said over the years to get him. To get him fired. And exactly. How many coaches have said stuff like that? And it's just like in the world that we live in now, as a coach, you have to be so politically correct because you get a couple players out of your program that aren't happy with how things went and they're going to bitch about it, go public with it. Next thing you know, you lose your job. So, this is
very,
you know,
unfortunate.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And I wish he would have been given an opportunity to address, you know, what happened. And I don't agree with some of the things he said. I think it was definitely a little out of line and he got a little loose, with his verbiage with some guys about some of the, you know, the jokes and things he was saying. I mean, if you would have said something like that to me, I'd have laughed. And I'm like, okay, you know, like he told Kyle, if he didn't get his shit together, he's going to send it back to the meth labs of Ohio. Like, you know, like
of Iowa. Yeah.
Or Iowa. Yeah. I mean, that's freaking hilarious. Yeah. Like if he would,
well, you know, and I remember laughing and just, you know, continuing on with my day and
yeah,
like, that was it, you know, like, because I heard him rip on everybody else too. I mean,
right.
Like, come on, let's go walk inside the locker room of Alabama. You know, like, come on, like,
yeah,
it's everywhere. It really is.
He was an equal opportunist.
He was an equal opportunity offender, that's for sure. And we talked about that a lot. But Kyle, Soldier of the USA, says he's serious about the boycott. He can't take it anymore. Not lying.
All right.
You know, I'm sure there's some people that are like that. I mean, a lot of programs, they get to the point where, again, like I said, you watch the same rerun over and over and over again. People are just tired of it. And if they don't feel like that the university and the athletic department has the urgency to get some shit changed, then they're just going to move on and spend their Saturdays doing something else.
Well, sure. So Soldier of the USA, what are you going to do? You're going to spend your going to Home Depot. You got some big plans at Bed Bath & Beyond. Like, what's going on? You know, like, are you going to tune, you know, I highly doubt it that you're not going to tune in some sort of way because you're concerned about how the Hawkeyes are doing. That's all I mean. You know, you can boycott sitting down and popping some popcorn and grilling your wings and all that stuff and actually partaking in the tailgating and the actual watching of the game, but you're still going to pay attention, man. Come on.
I'm still going to watch. Matt's still going to watch. Kyle barely watches as it is, even if we were undefeated. God, I'm giving you shit, Kyle.
What?
I was just saying, Kyle's not going to really pay that close of attention regardless of if we're winning or losing. I'm just giving you shit.
I mean, in a way, you're right. I mean, I still pay attention, but whether or not we're winning or losing, like, it kind of goes back to what I said last week. Like, I wake up the next morning and I'm still going to be a Hawkeye fan no matter what. Like, I don't care who's in charge. I don't care who's there. Like, I have such deep vein, you know. I thought about this. I'm sorry to interrupt, and this will only take a minute, but
no,
you're so fine. Well, so you guys are well aware I'm a big Premier League soccer fan, so I've been a Manchester United fan ever since I was a little boy, and I have a small Manchester United fan, jersey to prove it. It's in my little brother's closet in Carlisle, Iowa. But not too long ago, I was really into buying and trading Premier League soccer jerseys. You know, I had an array of, you know, I had Barcelona jerseys, Manchester United jerseys. And I remember purchasing this jersey and then trading it and selling it I remember purchasing this jersey, doing some research. I found this guy who I met this guy somewhere in Chicago and I bought this jersey from him. And this is a, you know, pretty expensive, pretty prestigious jersey from Manchester United from when they won the treble, the Champions League, the Premier League, and the FA Cup back in the day, blah, 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 blah. And I remember doing the exchange, and I was like, why are you getting rid of this? He's like, oh, I've been a Manchester United fan for my entire life, but I just, you know, they haven't been winning too much lately, and I got to make the switch to Manchester City. And Manchester City is their direct rival within the same town. So it'd be like, you know, dealing with somebody who was a Hawkeye fan for their entire life and then all of a sudden just getting sick of what's going on and moving to an Iowa State fan. I mean, could you imagine that? You know, like, and I remember saying to him, like, really? Like, what the is wrong with you? You know, like, what is so anyway, it's for anybody out there. That's for anybody out there who's calling themselves a true fan, you know, like,
yeah,
you got to ride the storm, man. You got to do this.
And I think, you know, we all say what we're going to say. We're bitching, we're complaining, we're frustrated. But, we're, you know, I'm going to watch every game. I'm going to still go to games this year. I'm going to not be probably as overly enthusiastic as I have been in the past. And Matt's laughing right now. Matt, you got to dip in right now? You don't? Okay. He does. He's lying right now. He's got a dip in. Matt smiles like the Joker when he's got a dip in. Smile, Matt. He looks like the Joker when he smiles and he's got a dip in. So that's why I always know you can't lie to me.
Why? I'm so furious.
It's that saying, just because I'm mad doesn't mean I don't care. and I'm always going to care. I mean, I'm wearing my White Sox stuff today because I know we suck and I know we were supposed to suck. And just looking at a Tiger Hawk right now just puts me in a bad mood. And it's because I care, because I love them. And I'm still going to go. I'm frustrated. And, you know, think in, you know, like Charles says, Kirk's part of the problem. It's philosophy on the game. Hate to say it. You know, I agree. I mean, for us, you'd be naive if you said he wasn't part of the program. And I, you know, I'll tell you the story. Bobby says no coach owns a program. I think we're about as close as it gets right now at Iowa. I was at Penn State. This was probably 6 years ago when we were playing there and got blown out, like similar to how we got blown out. But that time we at least put up a couple points. And I ran in to at one of the bars, ended up sitting at a table with like a lot of the guys that run the National iClub, some of the big movers and shakers. And not that I was invited to sit at this table because I'm just a regular fan like everybody else listening, but I just happened to bump into these guys, got pulled into some, and I'm nosy, had some drinks, started talking to these guys and thought I'd let them know how I felt a little bit on the direction of the program. Their mindset on the whole thing is they're super tight with Kirk. They love him. He's a personal friend. And what a better coach can we get than him? How are we going to do any better? And it's like, that's a horrible freaking mindset to have. Kirk's a wonderful man and does a lot for these guys. And I have the utmost respect for that. He does everything with high integrity, but we're ready for something different. We're ready for a little bit of a change in product on the field because what we're getting right now, we're tired of it. And, you know, again, to talk with what Bobby says, no coach owns a program. I agree with that 95% of the time. I think Nick Saban would have other words to say about that. Kirk Ferentz has other things to say about that. The funny thing with Nick Saban, though, he's got national championships. We haven't won a conference championship since 2004. And for some reason, our coach can essentially have the power that the athletic director has, which I don't understand. And when the press conferences are going on, again, going back to last year and the years before, the arrogance and the dismissiveness when he talks to the media, it's because he knows that he can say and do what he wants and nobody's going to do anything about it. So right. That's the frustrating part. But moving on a little bit here to Michigan State coming up this week. Again, we got a dumpster fire rolling into Iowa City and, you know, they have some talent on that team and Mel Tucker suing the university for, you know, feeling like he was set up in this whole entire thing. It looks a little bit like that might've happened, but hey, here's the deal, Coach Tucker. Don't have phone relations with a girl that's a sexual rights activist that you bring in to talk to your team, you moron. So I get that, you know, maybe you were, you know, you walked into a trap, but you walked into the trap like a moron. So regardless, do whatever you got to do to sue the university. But guys, we're favored in this game, which
by 8, right?
Yeah, by 8. And I wanted to get your guys' thoughts, you know, with this in Iowa City, is our offense going to show any signs of life? It makes me think of that meme, like, the guy poking dead body with a stick, like, you know,
something.
Matt, what do you feel like we're going to see this weekend? Is there going to be any improvement? And there was a story I heard that the Miller Lite Delight will be in Iowa City this weekend. Are those rumors true?
Those rumors are true, I believe, with Adams. Adams will be there too.
All right. We're going to, do we have any idea where we're going to be tailgating this weekend, Matt? Because there's a lot of Hawkeye fans out there I'd love to have a drink with. Those guys that listen to our shitty podcast week after week to support us. We want to meet you. We want to have a drink with you. Matt, do we know anywhere where we might be this weekend? Because I feel like I'm kind of your guest. What's that?
What are you thinking? I don't have a designated spot in mind. I guess there's a lot across from
Finkbine.
Of course, our Finkbine that has been real well, has treated us good.
I like it because when you get a couple pale guys like us, there's a lot of shade over there. So
yeah.
we can survive over there pretty great. Well. I mean, you look at my Nordic skin, it's not built for lots of time out in the sun. So I get red just thinking about being out in the sun. So So that lot across from Finkbine, guys, send us a message like on Twitter, Facebook, if you're out tailgating, we'd love to have a drink with you. We can be mobile. We can maybe swing over to Finkbine or walk around the parking lot outside of Kinnick a little bit before the game. But that's a lot of what we do. Why we do what we do is because of you guys. And we're not here doing this podcast without your guys' interaction. So we appreciate everything that you guys do. Matt, what do you think is going to happen in this game? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I was just going to say that Penn State punched him in the mouth.
And balls at the same time.
Yeah, everywhere humanly possible they got punched. And I think this team's probably going to take that adversity, and I think they're going to play a lot better. We cover this. I think we're going to cover the spread. Michigan State isn't very good this year. You know, they got some interim coach. Mark D'Antonio is still there. Yeah, they got some talent and they played well. But after Saturday, you know, they're going to have a hard week of practice. So I think I think they'll cover.
Kyle D. Barnes says, after watching Michigan State and Iowa, Iowa could lose this game Saturday. MSU does have they have talent. I agree with D. Barnes 100%. They have some players on that team. Mel Tucker did do some good recruiting. He had some good things going. What was he earning the contract that he got? No, absolutely not. Michigan State really overreacted because they were afraid that he was going to take the LSU job, and they tried to get ahead of it and gave him this way overinflated contract, and they have not got a return on their investment. That's why they want it out. But there are some players on that team, and if we don't get our crap together, we could lose that game. But Kyle, just from the, you know, what we've seen this season, I was favored by 8 at Kinnick. How do you feel like we're going to fare in this one?
Well, I think that we're going to respond properly from this this last week. I hope that they come out with a bang. And, you know, anytime you have something like this super embarrassing on the road, I mean, gosh, guys, that bus ride to the plane and then the plane back, completely silent, guarantee it. It's a very humbling effect. It really is. I just, you know, I'm anticipating a bounce back that is going to be tenfold. I hope that, you know, they come out with a bang and everything's firing on all cylinders. I will say this. It was kind of cool to see Deacon Hill come in and fire a couple away. I don't know what you guys thought about that, but I thought it was, you know, first of all, it was a bit of a gut punch to see Cade McNamara, you know, take a back seat and have them bring the backup quarterback in. But gosh, Deacon Hill, you know, for what he did and what he, you know, for seeing him, how he commanded things and, you know, took the snaps and was slinging things around. I thought he did real well. I wouldn't mind seeing didn't they do this recently? Kind of like a hybrid quarterback. Did they do this in like the last 6-7 years? Like where they had like this hybrid quarterback thing going on? Maybe I'm hallucinating here, but.
You know, Kirk really does not like doing that. He really hasn't done much of that, but he does not like to make change at quarterback during the season, no matter. I mean, we saw that with Spencer. You know, we saw that with him not wanting to put Ricky Stanzi in. You know, we saw that with not wanting to put CJ Beathard in. I mean, he hitches his trailer to a quarterback and he wants to go down with the ship.
Yeah. So, well, anyway, I noticed that. I picked it up. I picked up on it and I thought that, hey, maybe this could be something, you know, who knows what'll happen. But, yeah, guys, I'll always pick Iowa to win the game, no matter how it happens, no matter, you know, how frustrating it might be. Even if it's by one, they're, you know, like a sloth trying to cross a highway. It'll get done, you know, so one way or the other.
And, you know, it's got to get to the point, too, like South Bend Hawkeye says, it's great to have the high integrity. That's important. You know, but at the end of the day, like he says, it's not going to win natties or make the college football playoff. You can win and still have integrity. You know, that's the thing, you know, just because he's doing things the right way and has integrity in it, that's great. You know, that we want that, but we also want to win games too. And that's not happening. And, you know, the way the conference landscape is changing, we're not going to be able to keep up. So guys, we're kind of hit our limit for the night. We're old men. We need to get to bed. Got a lot of comments we didn't get to tonight, guys. We appreciate all the fan interaction. makes it a lot of fun for us just to hear what you guys think. I hope you guys feel like you were included in the podcast tonight, but that we got a little thing from Brian, said the Swarm tailgate was pretty cool. So we might have to go over and check that out, Matt, a little bit and see how that is. So boys, we're going to, I see you back next week. We're going to try to stick to this Monday thing and keep doing this. Matt, loves it. Love the podcast, guys. Thanks, buddy. We're going to,
thanks, Matt.
We're gonna keep trying to do this Monday night thing. Stick to that. So you guys have a little bit of consistency with us, but I'm afraid to see what's going to happen the rest of the season. You know, just because we're frustrated and complaining, we do wish the team the best. And, you know, we need to turn things around quick and get this figured out. And if that's Deacon Hill in the game a little bit and doing a hybrid between the two of them, I'm all for it. Let's do it. Whatever we can do to spark something and get things going. But I wish we could hire a whole new offensive line in the transfer portal, because other than Logan Lee, because what we have going on right now is not working.
Oh. Agreed.
All right, boys.
All right.
Anything you want to throw in before we close this baby down?
No, sir.
All right, guys. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. Go
Hawks.